Hey, some of you may be new to Life Center, and so you might not know this, but we have multiple different locations. We have multiple different times that we gather. We also gather in multiple different languages, but we are one church. And last fall, we celebrated 100 years of ministry here in the 253. You can absolutely applaud that. And over that period of time, we've been able to do a lot of good here in this city and beyond because we're committed to this idea that Jesus' good news, the gospel of Christ, it's for every man, every woman, every child from every tribe and every tongue. And so a few years ago, our leadership team and our pastor, Fulton Buntain, got this crazy idea to link arms with a man named Roberta and his wife, Elsa Tejada. And they started this Spanish-speaking ministry that began to gather here on Sunday afternoons. And now, 22 years later, we have a thriving Spanish-speaking ministry that meets here at our central campus. We also have one out at our Rainier campus. It's absolutely incredible. You should swing by some Sunday afternoon and check it out. But this afternoon, we are in for an incredible, incredible time together. My friend, Pastor Christy Valarias, is going to come and share. She's the associate pastor at our Centro de Vida campus. So would you join me in welcoming her to the platform now? Can we applaud her as she comes? Y'all buckle up. It's going to be good.
Thank you so much for having me today here at Life Center. How are you guys doing? Yeah? ¿Cómo están? Good Spanish. ¿Hola? ¿Cómo están? Yo estoy muy emocionada de estar aquí y hablar acerca del gozo el día de hoy. I am so excited about being here. And it's incredible what a yes can do. When we say yes to Jesus, sometimes we're like yes and we have no idea what we're entering and we have no idea what's going to happen. But he simply grabs that yes, and like it did with my family 22 years ago, that yes and what we see right now, all I can say is God did it. It was his idea. It was his dream. And he found a tiny family in Lima, Peru that was willing to say yes to that dream. And, whenever we say yes to Jesus, we have no idea what we're entering. But at the beginning, there may be some difficulties and there may be some tensions and people have no idea what you're doing. And then the years pass by and then God is like, I got you. You know, God reveals his plans in the making, in the years when we say yes. And I'm excited to be here and actually finish off the series of Uncommon Joy, which has been amazing, right? It's been amazing every Sunday. We have been learning together about what it means to have that uncommon joy. And today the topic is uncommon response. And it's such a great topic because society and the world we live in, they respond very differently as it's in Scripture. Right? The way people respond to tension, the way people respond to bad news, the way people respond to difficulties, it's a common response that we have in our world. And then we're confronted with Scripture, and God tells us, hey, you are not to respond that way. Say, hey, I got a better way for you to respond. There's a better way. There's a fuller way. There's a way that it's only those that say yes to Jesus can experience, and it looks very uncommon. But it's the best way to respond to the messiness of life. And in Scripture, it says the following in Philippians 4:6. It says, don't worry about anything. I love that. Right there, God is saying that's the response of everybody. Worry. That's the common thing. And then he plans the uncommon thing. Instead, what? Pray. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. There are benefits of going into the presence of God. Dear God, thank you so much for today. As we wrap the series of Uncommon Joy with Uncommon Response, I pray, God, that You will challenge us, that not only that, but you will also encourage us. That way, when we say yes and grab a hold of what it means to respond like you would, it will impact and influence those around us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So response, if you look in the dictionary, response is your reaction to something. And like I was mentioning, you know, when life happens, when things get complicated, when things come unexpectedly, people tend to respond a certain way. And God was telling me something so interesting. He said, Christy, your response to anything in life is linked to your belief. Whatever you hold true in your heart, whatever your values are or whatever you value, every response and every reaction you have in life, it's linked to your belief. It's tied to what you believe in. So whatever we're convinced about, I love that word, whatever we're convinced about, whatever we have said, this is what I hold true in my heart, that will lead and influence our response. So you can't say, I believe in something and respond differently. I mean, they're all tied together. In fact, when messiness happens, when the unpredictable happens, then we truly know what we believe in. It reveals our faith. It reveals our conviction. And in Scripture, Paul says the following in Romans 8, 38 to 39. He says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is convinced that nothing can separate him from God's love. In other words, Paul is convinced that God loves him. He is convinced that God is for him, that God is able. In fact, he's convinced that God can be trusted, that he can trust God with his messiness. He can trust God with his difficulties. He can trust God with his impossibilities. You know, when we're little, we are very trusting people, right? You tell a child, close your eyes, and they're like, yay, candy. Yeah, you have a surprise for me, right? They close it immediately because they know something awesome is going to happen. If you tell an adult, close your eyes, they'll be like, why? What do you want to do to my face? What is going on? You're going to slap me? Or what's, you know? Why? Because time happened. Because betrayal happened. Because pain happened. And as time went on, because of situations that have been difficult for us to handle because of heartbreaks, then we started becoming people guarded. And if we're not careful, we translate that into our relationship with God. And we think God is like people. So we're afraid to give God our impossibilities, because if we really think about it, we don't know how we can really, truly trust him. This is a lie from the beginning, church. The serpent went to Adam and Eve trying to convince them that God really, truly had secrets. That God wasn't really giving them everything they needed. That God was withholding his goodness from them. And they believed the lie. They were convinced that God was truly not for them. So they had to take matters into their own hands. And you would think Satan will come up with new ways to lie, but it's the same lie from the beginning. I mean, he hasn't changed his, like, lying techniques, because people still believe it. So he's convincing us that we need to take control of things. He's convincing us that we need to do things certain ways, and he pressures us, perhaps through the situation and through people, how we should respond to things. But Paul said, I am convinced God loves me. I am convinced he is for me. I am convinced that if he is for me, no one can be against me. I am convinced that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I am convinced that God is good. And when we're convinced of this, we run to the Father any chance we get because we're convinced of who he is. It's just like when my dad used to come from conferences in Peru. Every time he came, I would run to him because I knew he had candy in his pockets. So he would come and my sister and I would run to my dad. Yeah, you're here, pockets. He never failed. Candy all the time. And we knew it. It was certainty. It was going to happen. When we're convinced that God is good, that when we're him, he has all these promises. He has all this awesomeness in his presence. There's fullness of joy. We run to him. We run to him because he's got the answers. He is the answer. So when good things happen, we run to the Father saying, hey, God, look at that. It's so exciting. When bad things happen, we're like, hey, God, what happened? You know? We go to him when we're in the mountaintop, when we're in the valley, when we are, you know, going through victories, when we're going through challenges. It's easy to go to the Father because we're convinced he is for us. And we can trust him with our stuff. And something happens when we do this, when our response to life, when our response to difficulties, when we respond in prayer, there are benefits of being in the presence of God. Amen? There are benefits. One of the benefits God was telling me about that in his, when we go and respond in prayer and respond in seeking his presence, our heart is filled with joy. Philippians 4:8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thought. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right, and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Then Paul just described Jesus, didn't he? Right? Pure, excellent, admirable. That is God. So when we come and fix our thoughts on God, something miraculous starts to happen. We start surrendering our anxiety. We start surrendering our worries. And in exchange, he starts giving us his peace. It's the greatest exchange on the planet. When we come to God and say, hi, this is my load. And God says, well, here is my hope. And we can actually give him, cast our worries onto him because he cares about us. The issue is not that he is not able, it's that we can't let go of some things. And we keep on grabbing some things and we are going to handle it because the world has taught us that we have to handle it ourselves, that we have to do all these things to get it together. And it reminds me of my 2-year-old little girl. She loves collecting rocks, and she loves especially looking at big rocks, and she tries to pick them up all by herself. So when I'm around, and she's grabbing a huge rock, I'm like, hey, Mom, I'm going to help you. And she's like, no, because you know that's one of her favorite words right now. Not just no, it's no, 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 no. And she's like, oh, and I'm like, Eliana, let me help you. No, 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 no. Okay, she's like, Eliana, I'm here. Hey, bring it over. Mama's gonna help you. No, 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 no. Until all of a sudden, after all the strength, the stress over it, and I hear her tiny little voice saying, help me. And I go to her and I'm like, of course I'm gonna help you. And sometimes we're like that. God is like, cast your worries onto me. And we're like, no, 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 no. I got it, God. Let me handle it. Let me do it. Let me handle this messiness in my home. Let me handle the trials in my marriage. Let me handle this stuff in my business, in my family. Let me handle it. And God is like, come on, give it to me. I'm here for you. I'm here to help you with these things. And we're like, no, 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 let me handle it. Until we're in a funk. And then we're like, help me. And God is like, it was never for you. It was never for you to carry this. I wanted to carry this all along Because when we go, you know, isn't the cross the greatest exchange in the planet? When we at the cross gave God our slavery and he gave us freedom. At the cross we gave God our condemnation and he gave us hope for tomorrow and promises. So when we go to him and we trust him, he starts filling us with so many of his promises that any lie of Satan will no longer take a hold of us. It will no longer lead our response. It will no longer lead our emotions because God is filling us with so much of him that we can distinguish a lie from the enemy. Because God is filling us with his presence, we know when the enemy comes and we know when it's the voice of the enemy and we're like, that's not coming from the Lord. I'm not going to believe that because we're being filled with the presence of God. And the other thing that God was telling me in scripture is not only is the benefit that he fills us with so much of him, is the fact that we're able now to walk in confidence when that happens. In Philippians 4:12-13, it says, I know, this is Paul, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. This is Paul saying, I can face the world knowing God has me. I can live when there is nothing, and I can live when there is everything. I believe I can live when there are bad news, and I can live when there is good news because God is my strength, because I can do everything through Christ who strengthened me. When we know God has us, we can walk in confidence. No longer are we slave to fear. Many of the decisions, unfortunately, that we make in tough moments in our lives are due to fear. We are afraid of losing our home. We're afraid of losing in finances. We're afraid of losing our children. So we make decisions based on fear, and then the consequences are awful. And God is saying here, when you grab a hold of me, when you come and seek my presence, you will no longer make decisions based on fear. You're going to make decisions based on my love, based on my freedom. And they're going to benefit you, and they're going to benefit your family. They're going to benefit your children because we know God has us. We can walk in confidence when Dad is here. My dad tells a story of this big bully in his neighborhood in Peru. Oh my goodness, this bully was awful. So my dad decided he was going to stand up to the bully. So one day he goes, you know, the bully is messing with some kids and my dad, you know, he's little and he goes and he's like, hey, stop. And the bully just looks at him and then my dad's like, what do I do now? You know, like I didn't plan much after this. And the bully starts running towards him and my dad's about to book it. He starts running and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, Dad! And out comes his dad facing the bully. And the bully's like, hey, sir. Hi, sir. Hi, I'm leaving, sir. Love you, sir. The bully is gone. And my dad's like, huh, that's right. Is that all you got? You know? Because his dad is there. When we know God is here, when we know God is present in our messiness and in our hard moments in life, we can walk in confidence because we know God has us. It will always be an unmatched war from now on because it's not your problem against you, it's your problem against God. And that is unmatched. God, though your problem has nothing on the power and the ability that God has to fix it. You know, I love scripture, and if we really start reading it, we start realizing that every battle in scripture is completely unfair. Every battle in scripture is completely uneven. Because if we realize, like David and Goliath, it wasn't David against Goliath. It was Goliath against God. You know? Talk about how uneven that match is. Goliath had nothing. I mean, he was like, poor guy, he was doomed from the start. When we realize that it was actually God fighting the battle. When we understand that God is for us, that God is fighting our battles, we can walk in confidence. We can walk and make decisions that will spark so much blessing towards our family because we are convinced that God is fighting for us. We don't have to fight every little thing anymore because God has it. And people come and ask you, wait, I can't believe you're still alive. And you're like, me neither. God has me. People come in and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're going through all of that. And I'm like, me neither, but God has me. Because our answer is, God is for me. It's not me against my problem. It's my problem against God, and he's undefeated. And we walk with confidence. And the result of that is we impact those around us. Philippians 4, 4 to 5 says, always be joy, full of joy. This is Paul. He has been in prison. He has been in dungeons. He's been like with shackles. Like he's been, you know, thrown around, almost left to dead. And he's like, always be full of joy in the Lord. And then he doesn't say it once. He's like, I'm going to say it again for those in the back. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate. Let everyone see. Something happens when we're in the presence of God. Everybody else sees it. When we start speaking in confidence, when we start relying on God for him to fill us with the good stuff, you know, it spills over to our children. It spills over to our spouses. Still spills over in our community. I realize that people don't know they really want Jesus until they see Jesus on someone. My daughter doesn't know she wants a toy until her brother has it. Right? The toy has been around. It's been there in plain sight. She didn't want it until her brother of 10 months old has it. Once a brother has it, that's all she wants. It's like me at midnight snacks with my husband. My husband's asked me, hey, are you hungry? I want to prep something. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm full. I don't want anything. And he starts making this natural awesomeness and then all this stuff and smell. And then he comes and he sits next to me and I'm like. I'm like, I'll just have a little bit. Just have a little bit. Just one little chip. And then little by little, I just put the plate on my lap. And he's like, but I thought you said you didn't want any. And I'm like, of course. I mean, I didn't want anything, but I want that. That's our world. They don't know they want Jesus until they see it on you. And then they're like, oh, I want that. I'll have what she's having. I'll have whatever this couple is having. I'll have whatever this man is having. I want some of that. Where did you find some of that? It's because we're in the presence of God. It's because it's spilling into our actions and our decisions. We're making decisions that are so right, and people are looking at us in the midst of our valley, and they're like, whoa, I want that. And we become contagious beings. Like you know, the word contagious is hilarious because no one wants to be contagious, right? You hear the word contagious and people just run away from those people. A few years ago, we had we have annual conferences at our church, and we go pick up the bands and with big flyers. And one year, the band's name was in English, actually. The band's name was Contagious. So we go to the airport with huge signs that says, Contagious! So we're like, we not only one sign, two signs, and we're like, contagious, contagious. And people are like, oh my gosh, call security, oh my gosh. They're contagious, they should be wearing something right here, you know? Because when you hear that word, it's like, you know, it's going to rapidly pass on from person to person. You know, when we are deep in the presence of God, when we swim in the presence of God and it spills over our everyday life, people are just like, what, what? They want it. They're crying out for it. And it's not like you have to shove it down their throat. It's not like, I believe in Jesus. No, they're asking you, hey, what are you doing with your kids? Hey, what are you doing for your marriage to thrive? Can you tell me how are you doing it I know you went through difficulties in your finances, but you were so full of life. How did you do that? And you're like, oh, let me tell you. His name is Jesus. And then people are like, wow, I didn't know I wanted him. But that's the result of being in the presence of God. And that is tied to us being convinced that he's there. For us to be convinced that he loves us. It might be such a simple truth, church. But man, sometimes we fail at this. And God says, you don't have to carry the burden, the guilt of yesterday, the uncertainties of tomorrow. Just bring them over. Just believe that I am able to take care of your mess. Believe that I have good intentions for you and your family. Believe that I have good intentions for your business. I have good intentions for your marriage. And then we do that open hand thing, and it's so hard to do, but so liberating at the same time when God takes over. And the first verse we read says that he then gives us peace. Peace that makes no sense to the world, but is linked to those who believe in Christ Jesus. If you can stand with me. Thank you, church. Thank you, Jesus. For I am convinced, said Paul. I am convinced, said Paul. If you right now say, hey, I want to cast onto God all this anxiety and all this difficulty and all this challenge, you can close your eyes with me. I want to stand on the fact that I want to be convinced that God is for me, and I just want to give him things that are weighing me down. I don't want the control over them anymore. I want Jesus. If that's you, you can raise your hand with me right where you're at, and I'm one of them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God knows you. God knows what you're carrying. God knows what you're carrying right now. And Pastor Garrett is going to come, and we're going to pray, and we're going to give God our burdens in exchange for his peace and joy this afternoon.
Wonderful. Hey, can we pray this prayer together? Say, Jesus, I am convinced that you're good. Jesus, I'm confident that you are for me, not against me. And finally, in response to that, we say, Jesus, I want to be contagious. God, I pray today as my friends go from this place, Lord, would you work in them, would you work through them, through the power of your Holy Spirit that's at work alive inside of us. God, would you make us more like you? God, reassure us of the truth of who you are. Remind us that your joy is our strength. God, and I pray that others would see that joy inside of us. God, would we be a contagious vessel for your truth, for your goodness. We love you, Jesus. Thanks for who you are. In your name we say together, amen. Hey, one more time, can we say thank you to Chrissy? That was absolutely incredible. My goodness.